Hey everybody, welcome to the Hero Bells podcast. My name is Kyle McCaffrey and I'm the lead trainer of Hero Bells. Hopefully you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Hero Bells, and I'm also on TikTok now, so you can follow me there. And well, you're not going to see me lip syncing to anything, but I'll definitely put some more content on there for you. But anyways, you're listening to the podcast for now. So today's podcast is about flow. What does flow mean to me? Flow is a state that I can hardly describe. In a flow state, I am many things simultaneously. It's, like I said, it's very difficult to describe, but it's like you're solid and present, but you're fluid and flexible, ethereal maybe. It feels almost like a state of omnipresence and something akin to happiness, but it's not quite the same thing either. That's why the description is... it's very elusive, and we're going to try to unpack that as much as we can. So you feel everywhere and concentrated all at once, almost out of control, like a backseat driver. I find that I'm in a situation in which I'm acting and observing all at once. If only these fleeting moments were our nature, would the experience lose its value? I think so. Maybe it's because as highly intelligent animals, we have a concept of death, and our brains enter this state as a means of survival at a level not experienced by other animals. Author Dr. Csikszentmihalyi, he's Hungarian in case you're wondering, he wrote the book Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. I'll refer to him as Dr. C just for brevity and because I refuse to continually embarrass myself. This is what he has to say about it. We have seen how people describe the common characteristics of optimal experience, a sense that one's skills are adequate to cope with the challenges at hand, in a goal-directed, rule-bound action system that provides clear clues as to how well one is performing. Concentration is so intense that there is no attention left over to think about anything irrelevant or to worry about problems. Self-consciousness disappears, and the sense of time becomes distorted. An activity that produces such experiences is so gratifying that people are willing to do it just for its own sake, with little concern for what they will get out of it, even when it's difficult or dangerous. I suppose even with lower level tasks, like the mundane desk jockey work, for instance. I mean, I'm sitting at a table right now. We can still achieve some semblance of this. I, for one, experience this state on a wide spectrum. Not to say it often or that I can induce it at will or anything like that, or I'm some sort of flow expert of any kind. But let's say I have a series of tasks that I'm more than capable of completing, but I've been procrastinating with. You know, it could be a mountain of paperwork. Once I started doing them, it may take some time, but eventually I find a rhythm. So I trudge along, provided that my focus isn't interrupted. Is this a flow state? The risk of my well-being isn't present. Or the risk to my well-being, rather, isn't there, but I'm possessed by a few other hallmarks lined out by Dr. C, for instance. Time is distorted, self-consciousness disappears, and I'm intensely concentrated. Perhaps I'm not in a flow state. I'm okay with that. But I remain suspicious of this state. In that scenario, I mean. So Dr. C illuminates the problem I'm outlining in chapter 4 of his book, The Conditions of Flow, in the following. But how much do such experiences happen? Occasionally, flow may occur by chance because of a fortunate coincidence of external and internal conditions. For instance, friends may be having dinner together and someone brings up a topic that involves everyone in the conversation. One by one, they begin to make jokes and tell stories, and pretty soon, all are having fun and feeling good about one another. While such events may happen spontaneously, it is much more likely that flow will result either from a structured activity or from an individual's ability to make flow occur, or both. Why is playing a game enjoyable while things we have to do every day, like working or sitting at home, often so boring? And why is it that one person will experience joy even in a concentration camp, while other gets the blahs while vacationing at a fancy resort? Excuse me. Answering these questions will make it easier to understand how experience can be shaped to improve the quality of life. Understanding flow state seems seemingly difficult to understand because where the low-hanging fruit is available in the most is in the most difficult and dangerous territory. Pardon me, I'm just going to have a little bit of tea. Dr. C has a practical means of addressing this. When describing optimal experience in this book, we have given as examples such as activities like making music, rock climbing, dancing, sailing, chess, and so forth. What makes these activities conducive to flow is that they were designed to make optimal experience easier to achieve. They have rules that require the learning of skills. They set up goals. They provide feedback. They make control possible. They facilitate concentration and involvement by making the activity as distinct as possible from a so-called paramount reality of everyday existence. For example, in each sport, participants dress up in eye-catching uniforms and enter special enclaves that set them apart temporarily from ordinary mortals. For the duration of the event, players and spectators cease to act in terms of common sense and concentrate instead on a peculiar reality of the game. Such flow activities as their primary function and the provision of enjoyable experiences. Play, art, pageantry, ritual, and sport are some examples. Because of the way they are constructed, they help participants and spectators achieve an ordered state of mind that is highly enjoyable. Roger Calois, the French psychological anthropologist, has divided the world's games, and he's using this word in the broadest sense, to include every form of pleasurable activity, into four broad classes, depending on the kind of experiences they provide. The first one, agon, I'm assuming this is said in some sort of French accent, includes games that have competition as their main feature, such as most sports and athletic events. Alia is the second one, is the class that includes all games of chance, from dice to bingo. The third, Ilinx or Vertigo, is the name he gives to activities that alter consciousness by scrambling ordinary perception, such as riding a merry-go-round or skydiving. And lastly, Mimicry, is the group of activities in which alternative realities are created, such as dance, theater, and arts in general. Using this scheme, it can be said that games offer opportunities to go beyond the boundaries of ordinary experience in four different ways. In agonistic games, the participants must stretch their skills to meet the challenge provided by the skills of the opponent. The roots of the word compete are the Latin competire, that's P-E-T-I-R-E. If you know how to say that properly, if I can say anything properly today, then please let me know. Comment on Facebook or Instagram. But anyways, back to the book, which meant to competir, which is meant to seek together. What each person seeks is to actualize her potential and his task, and this task is made easier when others force us to do our best. Of course, competition improves experience as long as attention is focused primarily on the activity itself. Aleatory games are enjoyable because they give the illusion of controlling the inscrutable future. The Plains Indians, so I'm assuming he means Native Americans, shuffled the marked rib bones of buffaloes to predict the outcome of the next hunt. The Chinese interpreted the pattern in which the sticks fell in the Ashanti of East Africa, read the future in the way their sacrificed chickens died. Divination is a universal feature of culture in an attempt to break out of the constraints of the present and get a glimpse of what's going to happen. Games of chance draw on the same need. The buffalo ribs become dice. The sticks of the I Ching become playing cards. And the ritual of divination becomes gambling. A secular activity in which people try to outsmart each other or try to outguess fate. Vertigo is the most direct way to alter consciousness. Small children love to turn around in circles until they're dizzy. The whirling dervishes in the Middle East go into states of ecstasy through the same means. Any activity that transforms the way we perceive reality is enjoyable, a fact that accounts for the attraction of the consciousness-expanding drugs of all sorts, from magic mushrooms to alcohol to the current Pandora's box of hallucinogenic chemicals. But consciousness cannot be expanded. All we can do is shuffle its content, which gives us the impression of having broadened it somehow. The price of the most artificially induced alterations, however, is that we lose control of that very consciousness we're supposed to expand. Lastly, mimicry, which makes us feel as though we are more than what we are actually through fantasy, pretense, and disguise. Our ancestors, as they danced wearing masks of their gods, felt a sense of power, identification with the forces that ruled the universe. By dressing like a deer, the Yaqui Indian dancer felt that at one with the spirit of the animal he impersonated. The singer, who blends her voice in the harmony of the choir, finds chills running down her spine as she feels at one with the beautiful sound she helps create. The little girl playing with her doll and her brother pretending to be a cowboy also stretch the limits of their ordinary experience so that they become temporarily someone different and more powerful, as well as learn the gender-typed adult roles of their society. Well, in this episode, I wanted to outline the idea of flow and flow states and how to achieve them in a fairly broad sense and give you an introduction to the book, Flow. I would highly recommend that you pick it up. I'm going to put an infographic on my Facebook so you can find out just a few quick bullet points of exactly what these flow states are and just some basic tenets of how to achieve them. The book, again, is called Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. Today, we learned four basic classes of flow and how to achieve them in a broad sense. The first one was Aegon, the flow state you achieve when you compete. Altea, the flow state you achieve when you play games like chess. Three would be mimicry, which is when you embody something or someone else through dance, acting, and music. And vertigo, which is a flow state that exists with extreme sports, and they distort our perceptions. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the introduction to flow and found this useful. I hope you stay tuned for episode two. Well, I guess not episode two. It'll be the second installment of this series on flow. In that episode, I will get a little bit deeper into the understanding of flow states. You can find the Hero Bells page on Facebook to get a simple recap infographic to help you remember the different levels of flow states. And in the coming episodes, there will be also infographics on those. On this podcast, I'm trying to help you improve your life one bite-sized nugget at a time. You can please find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. On Instagram, I'm hero_kbells. TikTok, it's Hero Bells, and YouTube, it's Hero Bells. I don't know why Instagram didn't let me have Hero Bells, but whatever. On there, you can easily contact me and pick my brain or discuss the topics on these podcasts or give me some feedback. Maybe you think I suck, and that's okay. You can let me know. I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, my name is Kyle McCaffrey, and this is the Hero Bells podcast. Thank you very much. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening. I hope this podcast was useful to you. I want to let you know that I have more tips and workouts available on YouTube that will also help you along the way of your training. Just search Hero Bells and please comment. I love comments. Like and subscribe, turn on notifications, and check in often. Thanks so much again. Have a great day.